You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Who are you praying for today? Does your list include family, friends? How about your church and maybe a mission organization? Well, I'm hoping that you're also praying for the effectiveness of Through the Bible. Welcome to a new day of Bible study with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz. And as we open to 1 Thessalonians 1, we're going to be reminded of how important it is to pray for ourselves, for others, for situations. Wouldn't it be great if we were each known as someone who prays so that others would know we entrust them to God and care for what's important to them, and that we bring those needs to our Heavenly Father? I'd certainly love to have that reputation. You know, praying for each other isn't only a privilege, it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility of every member of the body of Christ. We're encouraged to pray for each other, to pray without ceasing, the Bible says, and to pray with confidence and faith. The Apostle Paul believed in prayer. He opened his first letter to the Thessalonians with the reminder that he thanks God for them and asks God to care and provide for everything they need. You know, this hits really close to home for us. From the very beginning of Through the Bible, way back in the late 1960s, this teaching has gone out with the support of people's prayers. Dr. McGee was very clear that the most important thing that you can do to help Through the Bible is pray for God's blessing every day. Pray for financial provision as well. That is important. But pray for people's responsiveness towards the gospel. Pray for wisdom in decisions and opportunities that are presented to us. And pray for those who study with us and are applying God's word in their lives. So we would ask you, please pray for Through the Bible. You know, and some might ask, why? Are you in trouble? And to that, we smile and shake our heads. No. We're definitely not in trouble. We just realize how dependent we are on the Lord, and gladly so. So thank you for praying right now for the effectiveness and fruitfulness of Through the Bible's outreach in over 250 languages around the world. We're sure that God will be faithful to his promise, as Isaiah 55:11 says, that his word goes out and will always accomplish the purpose he intends for everyone who hears it, whatever their need may be. For specific prayer requests and praises, or to join our team of prayer warriors, we call our world prayer team. Just visit us at ttb.org/pray. Or for more information, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. And it's our team's privilege to pray that God will use his word to minister to your heart in whatever need you might have. For encouragement or challenge or instruction, the Lord knows what you need and is faithful to accomplish what he knows is best for you and for me. Let's now pray for each other. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise that you're going to use your word in our lives. And we think of so many who need a fresh word from you and who are calling on you today. Some will be listening to your word taught through your servant, Dr. McGee. So thank you, Lord, that you will accomplish what you've set out. And thank you for letting us play a part through our prayer and financial support of this program. We trust you and commit this time to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's open 1 Thessalonians 1 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we are ready to come to our study today, which is in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and we begin today with verse 2 of the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We got down an introduction last time. We saw that Paul came to Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, and that he was there less than a month, and he had to leave post haste, and he went down to Athens and waited for Silas and Timothy. They didn't join him there, and he went on down to Corinth and waited there, and after a time, they did join him. They brought a report concerning the church in Thessalonica and some things that transpired since Paul had been there and had founded the church, that is, that he organized it and had taught them. And they had some questions for Paul, and so Paul wrote these two epistles of the Thessalonians actually to answer questions that had been raised by the saints in Thessalonica. And this is the first epistle that Paul wrote. It is the epistle actually, that deals with the rapture of the church. The second epistle deals with the revelation of Christ when he comes to the earth to establish his kingdom. And now we come to verse 2. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, you'll find that he used this same expression to the Philippians. It was couched there in a little different verbiage, but it's the same thing. Paul prayed for all of his churches that he had founded. Paul had quite a prayer list, and if you want to make a prayer list, you could do it, and if you did, you'd be surprised how many different churches, individuals, groups of people that Paul prayed for. Now, he gave thanks for this church because of many things, and one of the most important was because they were quite an example. They were more or less of a model church, and he gives thanks to God for them. Paul was great at giving thanks. Now we come in verse 3 to one of the, I think, most remarkable verses in the Bible, and it follows a pattern of the Apostle Paul that you'll find in his writings. He emphasized the number 3, which is the Trinity. Now, I think that's quite obvious. And he says here, remembering without ceasing, first, your work of faith. Number 2, and labor of love. 3, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, let's pause there for a few moments because I consider this a very important verse of Scripture, and it contains a wealth of meaning. Paul here associates 3 Christian graces together. Faith, and love, and hope. Now, you'll recall in 1 Corinthians 13, we have these 3 brought together again. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these 3. Greatest of these is love. And so here, we find that Paul is taking these 3 and emphasizing them, and he'll mention them again in this very chapter. Now, I think it's quite interesting the way that he does this and the way it occurs in Scripture. I was having lunch up in New Jersey several years ago with a man that was an outstanding scientist. It's my understanding that he designed the heat shield that is on the capsule that comes back into space when they go out, you know, either into space to circle the earth or to go to the moon, for that matter. And he, at lunch, he said to me, he says, have you ever noticed that the universe that we live in is divided up into a trinity? And I said, no, what do you mean by that? Well, he said, look at this for a moment. He says, you and I live in a physical universe today that's made up of 3 things, time, space, and matter. And then he asked me the question, can you think of a 4th? Well, I couldn't. Maybe you can, but I couldn't think of a 4th. Time, space, and matter. And he didn't stop there. He says, have you ever stopped to think that time is divided into 3 parts, past, present, and future? And again, he says, can you think of a 4th? Well, I can't. And then he says, what about space? Well, I couldn't think of that. And he says, well, space is divided into length and breadth and height. And he says, can you think of another? He says, they speak of a 4th dimension, but he says that doesn't happen to be in this material universe. Now, this universe you and I live in bears the mark of the Trinity. And the very interesting thing is that the Word of God does the same thing, I think, all the way through. Have you noticed that Paul, in this very epistle here, speaks of the fact that man is a trinity. Now, I think it's a little different than we interpret it today, but I'll get to that when we get to it. Over in the 5th chapter, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3. parts of man that he mentions there. So man is apparently a trinity. Now, you'll recall that back at the very beginning, God brought man and woman together, and he said, now this is interesting, he says, you two shall be one flesh. And how do they become one flesh? In the child. 2 + 1 = 3. It'll do it every time. And the very interesting thing, 3 lines always make a complete plane. If those of you that have studied plane geometry know that'll always happen. Now, have you ever noticed also in Genesis that there were only 3 sons of Adam that are named? And I do not mean to say that Adam and Eve should have been given the pill. They were not, because I think they had more than 3 sons. They probably had 100. And don't be alarmed at that. After all, they're starting this thing off. And the 3 sons that are mentioned are Cain, Abel, and Seth. No 4th son. And you have the 3 graces of the Christian life. These 3, Paul says, faith, hope, and love. And I think that you could find in this verse 3 here the definition of the Christian life. The past is the work of faith, and the present, a labor of love, and the future, patience of hope. Now, that is the picture that we have presented for us here, and this is the biography of a Christian. These are the abiding, permanent, and eternal features of the Christian life. Now, they're abstract nouns. They're way up yonder. I'm way down here. What is faith? What is love? What is hope? How can we get them out of space of theory into the reality of life down here? How can we make them very concrete instead of abstract qualities? You remember the story of the contractor who loved children, and he put on a sidewalk one day and finished it in the afternoon. He came back the next morning, and some children had put their bare feet in the concrete, and he was just hot about it. He was very angry and talking very loud. And the man came up to him and says, I thought that you loved children. He says, I love them in the abstract, not in the concrete. And now the question here is, how are we going to get this down in the concrete? Now, Paul takes these 3 words from the beautiful Isle of Somewhere, and he puts them in shoe leather. He gets them down here where the rubber soles of our shoes meet the sidewalks of our hometown. And he fleshes up these abstract qualities by taking them out of the morgue of the never, never land. Now, will you notice how he does it? In verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Now, will you drop down with me to verse 9 of this chapter? For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now, here are the 3 steps in the lives of the Thessalonians. How ye turn to God from idols, work of faith, to serve the living and true God, the labor of love. And 3rd, to wait for his son from heaven, that's the patience of hope. Here we have these 3 again, if you please. And now, the very strange thing that we have here is that you have, first of all, a work of faith. Now, what do you mean by the work of faith? Because it's been given to us that it's by grace are ye saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet we're told here about the work of faith. What does he mean by that? I think that what Paul is doing here is making it very clear that he and James do not contradict each other. After all, James, he says, I'll show you by my works, my faith. And that's the work of faith, is it not? And that's the way you prove it to others. And somebody has said that James wrote his epistle in order to contradict Paul. Well, he didn't do that because, actually, James is the first epistle that's written in the New Testament. And certainly Paul didn't write to contradict him. They're both talking about the same thing. Now, faith is the response of the soul of man to the Word of God. And when a man responds to the Word of God, we find that then he walks by faith. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is the thing you will recall that the Lord Jesus in the 6th chapter of John, verse 29, they came to him with the question, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered, said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now he says that you don't come to God with works, you come by faith. But a living faith then presents itself in the life that is lived. You see, the Lord Jesus, and I think we have another fine example, and I'm trying to illustrate this out of the Word of God. You will recall that these men that the Lord Jesus called went fishing, and they caught nothing. The Lord Jesus came by, and he told them to launch out in the deep and let down your nets. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, and we've taken nothing. Now, that is the judgment of an expert fisherman who knew that little Sea of Galilee. And that's a statement of fact. That's a declaration of naked truth. We've fished all night, we've caught nothing, and we know this sea, and there's no use going back out there. But notice what Simon Peter says. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. May I say to you that he says now, I'll go back and fish again. Friends, that's the work of faith. And today, that is needed. What is the work of faith? It's acting upon the word of God. What is the work of God? It's to believe on Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said that. The Word of God says that, and you act on what the Word of God says, and when you do, that's the thing that presents works to the world today. A living faith presents the thing that we're talking about here, the work of faith. That's the work of faith. Now, may I say that we have that same thing illustrated in the life of Cain and Abel. Now, what's wrong with Cain? Well, he's a sinner by nature. But he's also a sinner by choice and act. By faith, we're told that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How? Because he was a nice little Sunday school boy? No, not that at all. He was a sinner, but he responded to the word of God, and he believed God. And when he believed God, then he was saved. My friend, that's what faith is. It connects you to God. It communicates to your heart the Word of God, and you respond. And that's what conversion is. It's to believe God. And now, notice what happened. How ye turn to God from idols. Now, Paul didn't go over into Thessalonica and say to them, I don't think it's nice for you people to worship idols, and that's a very terrible thing to do. He never said that. He went over there and preached Christ. And idolatry wasn't repulsive to these people. They turned to God from idols. When he presented Christ, they believed God and they turned to God. And when they turned to God, they automatically turned from idols. May I say to you that it's when you believe God. And I have several people that have written letters to me. One lady from down in Santa Ana, here in Southern California, in Orange County, she wrote and says, you converted me. I didn't convert anybody. A man came up to me here not long ago where I was holding meetings, and he says, you know, you saved me many years ago, and I'll never forget you. Well, I said, I appreciate you not forgetting me, but I never saved you. I can't do that. I said, all I do is present the Word of God, and you believe the Word of God. And then the Spirit of God did something. This is quite wonderful, friends. Then you have the labor of love. Now, what is the labor of love? Well, God does not save by love. He saves by grace. And that's love in action. You see, labor is foreign and contrary and opposite of love. It just doesn't go along with him. But you see, love will labor. And when it does, it just doesn't seem to be labor. Like that little girl was carrying a heavy baby. And a man, when she went by, said to her, says, little girl, isn't that baby too heavy for you? And she said, no, he's my brother. Makes all the difference in the world. It's a labor of love. And the Lord Jesus, he put it right on the line. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you don't love him, well, I don't think it's worthwhile to try to keep him friends. Several years ago, my daughter and I were riding into Los Angeles, going to the church. She was helping us out down there. And we were stuck in the traffic on the freeway. And I said to her, I said, look, when you look around here, all these people, have you noticed going to work this morning, nobody's happy? Everybody's got a tense look on their face, and they're anxious, and they're uptight. Everybody is. They're going to a job that 99 out of 100 hate the job they're doing. I said, you know, it's wonderful to do what you love to do. That's a labor of love. And friends, if church work to you today is a great burden, I believe God would say to you, I think the Lord Jesus would say to you, give it up, brother. Don't worry about it. He doesn't want it like that. You're to love him. That's a labor of love. And that should characterize the life of the believer today. One time when Dwight L. Moody came home, they said to him, cancel your next meeting. You look so weary. You're so tired. Well, he made this tremendous statement. He says, I'm weary in the work, but I'm not weary of the work. It's wonderful to get weary in the work of God, but not get weary of it. Oh, I tell you, love to God is expressed in your obedience. And you can talk all you want to about being a dedicated Christian. And I'm so tired of hearing people say, I'm a dedicated Christian. Prove it, brother. And you prove it by your love for him. And your love manifests itself in obedience. And believe me, you obey God. And that's the thing that is so important. Now let me come to this last one, patience of hope. And we have it here, you see, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They loved him, you see, and now they love the Lord Jesus. Now the third is they're waiting for his son from heaven. And you have here the patience of hope. Now every man today lives with some hope for the future, and there are a lot of people that don't seem to have much hope today, but we ought to. And Martin Luther put it like this, everything that's done in the world is done by hope. And Sophocles, the pagan, says it's hope which maintains most of mankind. Martin says there's no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow. And Alexander Pope says hope springs eternal in the human breast. And Thomas Jefferson says, I steer my bark with hope in the head, leaving fear astern. And Carlyle, the Scotch philosopher, says, man is, properly speaking, based upon hope. He has no other possession but hope. This world of his is emphatically the place of hope. And yet there are multitudes of people today that have no hope at all. Oh, what a glorious, wonderful picture that we have here to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. And that, my friend, is the blessed hope today. Multitudes today have hope that man can resolve all of his problems, bring peace and prosperity to the world. But he can't do that. You're chasing a will-o'-wisp of happiness. It'll shatter like a bubble. Many are following today a pseudo-Pied Piper playing I'm forever blowing bubbles. God put man out of paradise. Man was a sinner. God did not let him live forever in sin. Every age is a time of cosmic crisis. What's your hope today, my friend? Is your hope in a political party? Is your hope in some man-made organization? But God have mercy on a man today whose hope rests upon some little frail bark that man is paddling. Oh, may I say to you that I'd love to carry a placard today on which it would be written, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those called according to his eternal and holy purpose. Oh, my friend, this is a glorious trinity here. And it is the biography of the church in Thessalonica. I hope it's a biography of your church and my church today. And so until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
You know, we'd love to hear how God is using our time together in His Word to impact the story of your life. Why don't you drop an email to BibleBus@ttb.org or send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. You can also call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, it washed it white as snow.
Join us each weekday for our 5-year daily study through the whole Word of God. Check for times on this station or look for Through the Bible in your favorite podcast store and always at ttb.org.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Thank you. You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To all our faith partners and radio listeners, we are the church and the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God of Melbourne, Florida, and our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We thank God for this wonderful opportunity that he has given us all, that we are able to just praise him each and every day. And I want to lift up my radio listeners and faith partners out there once again. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ask that your blessings be upon those that have tuned into the broadcast, that they will hear your word, receive your word, and live your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're looking today at St. John 3 and verse 16. Praise God. St. John 3 and verse 16. And we want to look at what the word of God says, because it doesn't matter what's going on in all of our lives. God is good. And as we always say, he's good all the time. I want to tell you that whatever is good that is happening to you, it is done by God. Because God loves us, and he wants the best for us all. Praise God. But when you have all kinds of other negative circumstances that come into your life, I want to tell you that that's not the working of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he loves us. He said it in his word, and this is what we want to look at today in St. John 3 and verse 16, and he loves everybody. Mm-hmm. It does not matter who you are or where you came from, God loves you.
Amen.
And this is what we have to keep in our mind and our heart, that no matter what the circumstances are, that God loves us all. Praise God. He may not love the things that you're doing that is contrary to his word, but he loves us. And he will extend his love to every one of us that believe and trust in him. And even those that do not know him, he still loves them. They are his creation. They may not be his children, but they are his creation. Because we know that we are all children of God by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in John 3:16, praise God, the word of God says, for God so loved, listen to what I'm saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to speak, praise God, salvation message through the airwaves into the listeners out there in radio land, that at some point, wherever you are and what you're doing, salvation will ring in your ears. Well, you will realize your position, if you're not born again, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. God won't force you. The broadcast is not going to force you. But what we are telling you is that God loves you.
Amen.
And when you can understand the love that God has for you and what he has done for you, then you would consider giving your heart unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus became all of our substitute. That took place on the cross of Calvary. He didn't deserve to go there to be punished. It was our problem, our sin, that placed him there. But I want to tell you, because of his love, he went there and died for your sins. So the word of God says, God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Look at what he's done for us. Amen. And when we can realize the things that he has done for us, then we should give our lives for him as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, he gave us his best. And we should give our best. And that is to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Minister Glory,
yeah,
says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
And if you, to confirm that, remember in Romans 5 and 8, it says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Can you imagine that for a moment, that he didn't wait until we were able to try and clean ourselves up or get right? He died for us while we were sinners.
Amen.
He commended his love.
Yes, he did.
And his love was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That he sent into this world, that you and I and everyone else that have tuned into this broadcast, that you could give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
That is the most important thing, to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
God so loved the world.
Amen.
Praise God. He loved us all. And he sent his son to die for our sins. One who knew no sin. He never sinned. But he became a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at what took place there, he was our substitute.
Praise God.
In other words, he took our place. He didn't deserve to be there on the cross, but he went there for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful,
yes,
Minister Glory?
And this is for the whole world, not just for a few. Because remember in 1 John 2 and 2, where it says, for he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
The sin of the whole world. So God realizing that the only way that we would have an opportunity to come back to him is that he had to send his son Jesus. And that's why Apostle John, when he was writing this, he said, God so loved the world. He loved you. No matter what your circumstances are out there or what problems you may have, he loves you. And we need to keep in mind that if he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, that we can have everlasting life. I don't know if many people today consider what everlasting life means, but I want to tell you, it's living forever.
Amen.
In the presence of God. Or with God. And the whole world. And this is what he says here, that God so loved the whole world. Not just part of the world. Mm-hmm. Not just Israel. Not just China. Mm-mm. Not just India. Not just Russia. Not just Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the United States. Not just all those other countries. He loved the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came and died for the whole world. This is how much love, and most of us, we cannot fathom the idea of this kind of love, because what happened is it didn't matter what your circumstances were, didn't matter what side of the track that you were born on, it didn't matter what your ethnicity was or is, it didn't matter. He's the God of all creation anyway, and he loves us all. And the world was in sin, and he sent his son Jesus to die for all of our sins.
Amen.
Minister Gloria, in the 17th verse, would you read that? Praise God. St. John 3, verse 17.
For God sent not his son into the world.
Hold on for a minute there. So now, if we look at that, 16 say he loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if he loved the world, St. John 17 says that he sent not his son in the world to condemn the world. Mm-hmm. So in other words, that's the love that is flowing. Mm-hmm. And you know something, Mr. Gloria? That love is flowing right now. He's giving everybody the opportunity to come to Jesus.
Amen.
Even right now. That's why the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Yes. If we have the understanding and realize what had taken place for us all. And this took place 2,000 years ago, where the Lord Jesus Christ hung there on Calvary's cross for all of our sins. So God loved the world so much,
mm-hmm.
all of us, doesn't matter who you are, that he sent his son not in the world, not to condemn the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus didn't come to condemn the world,
but that the world through him might be saved.
So he's the one that can only save the world. No one else can. And many people say, well, there are many ways back to God, that salvation is going through all these different changes that people are going through. But I want to tell you, there is only one way. And that way is through the one that God the Father sent. His name is Jesus. And that's why the word tells us, Jesus, he is the way.
Yes, he is. The truth
and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him.
Amen.
You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You cannot receive religion and expect to be with the Father throughout the ages of eternity. You must receive Jesus. Your church, doesn't matter what name it is, it doesn't matter who's in charge of it, they cannot save you. There is only one Savior. Buddha is not a Savior. He cannot save you. Hare Hare Krishna cannot save you. Jesus is the only one that can save you.
Amen.
And this is why you must come to Jesus. Give your heart to him. He's the one that died for your sins. So the word tells us that God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already because of sin. But he sent Jesus so that through Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. He is the Savior of all mankind, the Savior of the world. So you have an opportunity while you have the breath of life flowing in your body, no matter where you are, what your status is in society, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter what your profession is, you have the opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. Oh, I tell you, and once you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, It's a blessing that you will know that if anything were to take place, other words, if you were to die, once you've done that, that you would be with him throughout the ages of eternity.
Praise God.
Praise God. He loves us so much. So Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world,
no,
but that the world through him might be saved.
Praise God.
So he is the Savior of the world.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. He's the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you receive him, you will not be condemned.
Yep.
Amen. Praise God.
In 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You know why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen. Amen. So this is why the opportunity that we have is that we want to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and what he has done for us. And if he gave his life for us, we should give our lives for him. He died for us to give his life to us, that he might live his life through us.
Amen.
That's how much love that he has for us all, for humanity. So God loves you. Don't let anyone tell you that he does not love you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the problems he may have, I want to tell you that God loves you. He loves you so much until he sent his son Jesus. Jesus said that he came into this world,
yes,
praise God, to seek and save that which was lost.
Praise God.
And we all were lost. We were lost and we needed a Savior. Thank God that Jesus came, because had not he come, I don't want to speak of the place where we would be throughout the ages of eternity. But because Jesus came, became a sin offering for us, gave the whole world the opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives, that they will have everlasting life, that they will have the righteousness of God, they will walk in the love of God, they will have the peace of God, they will have the joy of the Lord, they will have all of the benefits, the blessings that God has for us all. Who would not want to have that minister glory?
Amen.
So many people today, everything else is more important to them than the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that one day they will have to leave this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you leave this earth not knowing him, the question now pops up, where will you spend eternity? Where? And if you don't know him, if you refuse to receive him, and all of the things that's going on in people's lives, they said, oh, well, that's bad, and they cannot receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Those things are just works of the flesh. The most important thing is that you open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That's why Jesus said he's the way.
He's the way.
He is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only way. That is true. The only way.
Yes.
The truth and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no one
mm-hmm.
can come unto the Father except by him.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're praying. I want to pray right now. I feel in my spirit that here, people out there that they're just listening to the broadcast, they know that they don't have who we're speaking of, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But I just want to pray for them that the Holy Spirit, He's right where they are anyway. Because God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And He's right there where you are. And you can receive Him. You don't have to be in a church building to receive Him. Right where you are. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I lift up the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. He said He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, Lord, I pray right now that wherever this broadcast is going, and to whom it is that have tuned into this broadcast, that they are listening to the petition that is being offered to every person that listening to this broadcast, that they will give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. They will think of the things that Jesus has done for them by taking their place, being their substitute on Calvary's cross, so that they will have the opportunity to receive eternal life. I pray that their hearts would be receptive to what is being said. And the Word of God tells us, if you just confess with your mouth,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Because the man believing in their heart and believing in your heart is what has to be done.
Yes.
Praise God. Righteousness is in your heart. Holiness is in your heart. When you believe what the Word of God says, glory to His wonderful name.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank you right now. I know that the Holy Spirit is touching the lives of many out there in Radio Land right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Glory to God. Shall be saved. Your faith, believing and trusting in Him. And Lord, I thank you for that right now, that you're touching that woman that is sick right now, has sickness in her body.
Hallelujah.
I pray right now that her body would be made whole.
Yes.
That the healing power of Jesus would touch her right now. Heal her.
Yes.
Set her free. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If many people out there that heard what the prayer was that went before the Father with a petition, allowing those that tune into the broadcast to receive the Word of God, the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they committed any sins, the Lord will raise them up. I want to tell you today that God loves us so much.
Yes.
Until He have instruments, men and women of God, all around the world, telling people about the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
God.
Glory, isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God. And the whole idea is that God wants everybody.
Right.
Everybody saved. It's not His will that any perish, but all come to repentance.
Amen.
Before He used to wink at sin, but now He's demanding that men everywhere repent. In other words, change your way of thinking and listen to what the Word of God says, and receive Him as Lord and Savior of your lives. Praise God.
Do you know, Pastor, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise.
No.
His promises are all yes and amen,
amen.
In Him.
Praise God.
And some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering. Yeah. Everyone has choices. You want to be going to heaven, or you want to go to hell. You have choices, but receive Him. He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish.
Yes.
But that all should come to repentance.
You know, Minister Glory, if people everywhere were to realize the gravity of the situation at hand, that Jesus, if you receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life, that the place that you just mentioned, Hades or hell, mm-hmm. if they understood what takes place there, and you're there throughout the ages of eternity, once you come up after the thousand-year reign mm-hmm. and stand before God and be judged, that final judgment, mm-hmm. and then cast into the lake of fire. Yes. I want to tell you, you would really want to receive Jesus.
Amen.
And that's because you love Him.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you just want to have fire insurance. No, that you love Him and that He will save your soul.
Amen.
Well, our time has slipped away here. We just have a minute or so here to extend an invitation to you, but I want that to ring in your ears, because the Word of God says that no man can come unto the Father except He that sent him draw him, and He will raise him up at the last day. So listen to what Minister Gloria is extending out there in Radio Land.
Praise the Lord. If you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Isn't that wonderful? Saved by faith. Put in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and none other than Him. And believe me, if you open up your heart and ask Him to come in, He will come in and save your soul. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. And I just want to tell you that each time we have this broadcast, the most important thing is that souls will be saved. You have that choice between heaven and hell. You make the choice. So make the right choice.
Amen.
You choose life today instead of death. God bless you all out there in Radio Land, and I will keep praying for you that the decision that you make will be a decision for our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.